Soul. Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network, home of the Firebird Book Awards, the Positive Change Podcast Awards Hall of Fame, and this podcast, Authors on Fire. I am Pat Rulow. Today, I'm very excited to have a recent Firebird Book Award winner to share with you, Kathy J. Perry, and the book is titled A Journey. Kathy is a semi-retired elementary school teacher, an author, publisher, and speaker. She says, "I'm writing to plant seeds through story. As a parent and former teacher, I understand the value of character education. My hope and prayer is that children and teens will enjoy my adventures and the growth of the characters while identifying with some of their struggles. If you're looking for good, clean, classic books with traditional values, you're in the right place." And we're in the right place right now to find out more. So welcome to the network, Kathy.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm privileged to be here.
Privileged to have you here, actually. It's always a pleasure for me to meet the Firebird winners and become friends and just learn more about you and what you do and why you do it. So congratulations on winning the Firebird Book Award.
Thank you. I'm already having the book cover corrected to have you know the digital award thing on it, so that'll be coming.
It's always fun to dress up the book cover, right? Now your press is called Chickadee Words. I love that, and I love the little chickadee on the front of your website. Why did you choose a chickadee?
Isn't that funny that you should ask that? Well, chickadees have always been my favorite bird. A lot of people like cardinals. I like cardinals too, but the chickadee, to me, is always a very cheerful little happy bird, even in the dead of winter. They just have that little fun sound, chickadee-dee-dee, and then they, you know, they come and get some seed, and then they take off. They never stay very long. They come back and forth all the time. I don't know. I just think that they're very cheerful, and that's just me. I'm always that way. I'm very up, very optimistic, and my glass is always more than half full. So I actually started a business before this called Chickadee Glass, and I did stained glass, custom stained glass windows for over 35 years. Wow. And so then when I rethought everything, I thought I'd better switch here. And so I switched to writing, and I just made it Chickadee Words.
I love that. It'll fit into whatever you come up with, right?
Yeah. Well, in fact, my blog is called Chickadee Tear.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
Well, I kind of have chickadee in everything.
You should have chickadee in everything. I love chickadees. I love birds. I love to feed them. I love to watch them. They're just such special little creatures. So I share your enjoyment, especially of chickadees. So that's why it attracted me as well. All righty. So you write early readers, chapter books, journals, and young adult novels. I guess being a school teacher, that's one of the reasons why this demographic attracted you. Maybe just give us a little backwards peek as to how you went from teaching school to thinking that this is going to be the book genre I want to focus on.
Well, I graduated way back from Kansas University in education. And when I graduated that particular season, all the baby boomers were graduating. I was one of them. And they started closing schools, and I couldn't get a teaching job for the longest time. I was administrative assistant instead. And thankfully, my mother said, take typing because you never know. So I used typing. I still type to this day a lot. And so I didn't really teach until the 90s. And then I taught in the classroom at a couple of different private schools. One year was first grade, and the next year was fifth grade. And then I did what I never thought I would do. I homeschooled. I always thought that was just weird, but then I just changed my mind. So I homeschooled my kids for a while. It depends on the kid, if you do that or not. I have one child that just really, she was okay with it, but she really missed, she's very gregarious, so she missed being at school. So later on, we sent her to school earlier than the other one, but they both turned out great. Just their personalities, you know, are different. And And I don't think homeschooling's for every person to do either. Like, every mom doesn't have to think, oh, I should homeschool, because some people, either they have so many children or they don't have a spouse who's supportive, or they're not organized, or they just don't have the temperament for it. It's not for everyone. But it is a good option, especially if you can be in a co-op or with a school, a satellite, so that you can get involved with other activities. Mm-hmm. That way you have socialization still, you know. So after that period, though, I started working again, went back into the workforce, and actually just had an anniversary at the place where I still work part-time, Van Fence. It's one of the biggest fence companies in Kansas City, and I've worked there 8 years. I worked at another fence company 8 years before that, and everything's doing great there. While working, though, with these people, laborers, I got it, well, not just that, but just the world in general, I got impacted by just the values and the character of some people. And I don't know what happened, you know, with the way people are raised. Maybe it's the fact that families are so different now than maybe what I grew up with. You know, mom stayed at home and dad went to work. It was, you know, the typical 50s family. But now it's so different. And there's just, I just felt compelled to try to help in some way, even though I couldn't teach anymore. I wanted to still help in some way with character development. Just so I thought, my daughter and I went to a strawberry fling festival, just a little arts and crafts fair. And there was a lady there who was doing some artwork for a nursery, just A, B, C, D, and that kind of thing. And I thought, oh, those are so cute, those illustrations. Those would be really cute in a children's book. And then all of a sudden, it was like a light went on. I can write children's books. Isn't that weird how things can just happen like
yes,
that?
Yes, yes.
I mean, it's not like I sat around thinking, oh, I always wanted to be a writer. No, it just kind of came one day. Anyway, I've been writing since 2016.
It's so funny how those little seeds are probably in there, and it just takes something that seems to be random, like running into somebody who does some neat illustrations for that little seed to start sprouting. I too studied education, music education, and when I graduated, I had a degree in music education, and that was just about the time when they were cutting all what they considered the frills from the school. So there was no music teaching job. So I did substituting, and I created my own preschool music class and took it on the road and started teaching in different Montessori schools. So,
oh, neat.
Yeah. So,
well, you do what you have to, but that's something.
Yeah. So as you were speaking, it was just so many parallels to what you were saying, and congratulations to you for seeing kind of a hole perhaps in society that needs to be filled and doing your part to maybe help children move along better. So let's just talk about then the idea of character education. How do you feel like you encompass that within your books?
Well, the first books I wrote were early reader chapter books, and I just used some character qualities like courage, thinking ahead, consequences, flexibility, anger management, and trust. Those five are in my first series of early reader chapter books. So I basically just took there's a place that sells curriculum for character development. Maybe I shouldn't mention the name because we don't have the permission to use it, right? Mm-hmm. But they have endorsed me, and they used to sell my books there, but then they revamped so they don't sell anybody's books anymore but their own. Anyway, I used their kind of curriculum as a basis for each of the stories. But each of the stories is a completely little adventure, an animal adventure, which I'm going to enter those later in the Firebird Awards. Okay. Eventually. I'm writing a new series now of those featuring some animals that are not that popular, but I thought boys would enjoy. Like, I've got the first character is a possum, mm-hmm. a possum, mm-hmm. And then I've got a bat and some squirrels, a crow, a turkey vulture, and a skunk. So they're all in the woods, but I think it'll be fun, especially for boys. I think girls will like it too, though. Mm-hmm. But it'll be similar, like, to that. In between, I decided to write, I thought I was writing a middle grade novel, but since my protagonist in A Journey, which is the book you're going to talk about here, A Journey, she's 13. So everybody said, well, she's 13, so she can't be in middle grade. Well, actually, it's a middle grade level as far as reading, mm-hmm. but she's 13, so she's actually YA. So, but I have people who have children who are, you know, 10 or 11 that enjoy it. And then I had a lot of people asking for more, so I wrote another one, which the sequel is the next book I'm going to enter into the awards, and it's called Finding Strength During the Panic of 1893, which was very interesting to research, by the way. Mm. Lots of things changed in the 1890s. In fact, as a country, there's been such a... That period, that decade, just flipped everything from everybody's kind of on their own doing their own thing to now we've got transportation that takes everything all over. We've got, you know, trains and all. And then you've got the political and the money and all of that business mm-hmm. flipped into more government control yep. type of thing. So we've never gone back to that. It's just a very interesting decade. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of that in that second book. Not a lot, but, you know, there's sure. there's information in there that you can garner. It's still an adventure. And so A Journey was actually my favorite book when I was growing up was called The Adventure of Perrine. Some people say Perrine. Mm-hmm. And it was written by a French author, Henri Malot, or maybe it's Malot. I think it's Malot in French. And it was written in the 1800s, and it's just about a French girl, and she's orphaned, and she finds her grandfather. And it's kind of the same kind of story, but I wanted to write something similar, only, you know, for America, from American stuff, because that book impacted my personality so much because of her character. She was such a strong character, and she had such good values and good everything. But she really changed me. And so my hope is that Emmeline will do that same thing.
That's actually huge that a book, and you recognize that this book had such an impact on you.
Mm-hmm. It was probably, I don't know, 10, 12, 13, wow. somewhere in there when I read it. But I still have two copies of mm-hmm. it. I love it.
So this book is A Journey. The Emmeline series is a Christian mm-hmm. historical fiction based, as you say, in the 1890s. And mm-hmm. you say that it also includes some actual events from your life. So maybe just give us a little peek into the book. Yeah, what could our readers look forward to?
Well, this particular book, now, the first book that I said I was impacted by did not have any faith stuff in it at all. But A Journey does, my book does. It does have faith in the Christian faith. I mean, people can write about any faith. This one's about Christian faith and how it helps her. And there's verses in there, and she prays, and she does write in a journal and that kind of thing. There's one point in there where she's knocked out by a villain. And she's unconscious, and she has a revelation. That was the true event that happened to me.
Oh.
Yeah, which, I mean, some people might not buy that. Maybe they would if they've been in any kind of near-death situation. Mm-hmm. But I remember when I was about that age, 13, we were on a horseback trip in California, and a weird thing happened, and I don't... It's probably too long to go into here, but I ended up being strangled by the reins of several horses and dragged off my horse and dragged for a ways. And then when I woke up after this revelation, I was just like, I was sad because I wasn't where I was, mm-hmm. if that makes any sense. I was having this revelation and everything was just so different. And I was sad that I was back. Isn't that weird? I had no death wish at all.
No, of course not.
No, but I thought, and then I took that back to my church that I went to and shared it with my youth group, and they all said, no, that couldn't have happened to you. And I said, well, it did.
Oh.
And then I stopped going.
Well, yeah, who would deny that?
I know. I was like, oh, no. Well, I did. So anyway, I just was writing the story, and I thought, you know, I'm going to put that in there mm-hmm. just because it did happen.
That must have impacted your life even more so than the book.
Yeah. Then my dad had something to say about it later. It's kind of funny. When he was older and I was older, I mean, we're both older. He's gone now, but he said, yeah, you used to be brilliant. I said, before the accident, I was brilliant. I said, well, what am I now? And he goes, oh, you're just average now.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, thanks a lot.
Oh, no. What?
I used to be brilliant. I thought that was hilarious.
Oh, what a turning point that accident was.
Yeah. And I mean, I still have, scripture stuff in the second book as well, but I won't have it in the early reader elementaries at all. It won't be like that. This series will be.
Okay. So this is the first book of the series?
This is the first book,
okay.
Yes. But you don't have to read the first book for the second book to make sense. Because I kind of explained some things in the second book in case you didn't read the first book.
Right. And the second book is out?
Yes, it is. It's called Finding Strength.
Finding Strength, okay.
During the Panic, and then there's like a subtitle, During the Panic of 1893.
Okay. Now, will there be more?
Of Emmeline, I don't know. I don't think I want to carry her, because this is 3 years later. And I don't want to give away the ending, but I don't know where I would go from there.
Okay.
It'd be like the Laura Ingalls Wilder books. Mm-hmm. Did anybody really read after she got married? I don't know.
Yeah. You need to know when to stop, right?
I think I'm probably done with Emmeline. Yeah.
Well, there's so much more to.
Unless I did something like maybe I took a character and did their story, out of the book.
Right.
You know, maybe I did a story about one of the characters in the story,
sure.
Other than her. I mean, I suppose I could do that. I don't think that would still be an Emmeline series, though. I don't think I really want to do that.
Yep. You've got other things cooking. You've gotten some great feedback from this book. You just sent me a review. Let's just talk about what you've been hearing from readers.
Yes, well, everybody loves it. I haven't had too many reviews on Amazon yet, which you know how that can be.
Yes, slow.
It's like pulling teeth somehow. And I know that sometimes it's just, they don't want to think about it, or they just forget about it, or they're too busy or whatever. So I'm trying to say things like, well, just tell me what you think. And then I can turn it around and say, well, okay, you like this about it. Do you mind if I, if we put that as a review, or maybe here's a link, and, maybe just that way instead of saying post a review.
Right.
But yeah, I got a review today from Reader's House. It's a magazine in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
It says Editor's Choice. I think there was a couple of Editor's Choices. Mm-hmm. And so they did this really nice review. And I don't know, I don't think we have time to read it, do we?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I will go ahead and read it. Okay, so it says Editor's Choice, and it's dated today, April 23rd, 2024. A Journey by Kathy J. Perry. Riveting historical adventure, poignant journey, unforgettable characters, captures the essence of resilience and hope beautifully. A Journey by Kathy J. Perry takes readers on a poignant and adventurous trek across frontier America with 13-year-old Emmeline. Facing the loss of her family, Emmeline embarks on a journey to fulfill her father's last wish, encountering both perilous challenges and unexpected kindness along the way. Perry masterfully crafts a narrative that captures the spirit of resilience and determination in the face of adversity. Emmeline's character is compelling. Her journey is a testament to the strength of the human spirit. Readers are drawn into a world where danger lurks around every corner, but hope and faith shine brightly through the darkest moments. The book's pacing keeps the reader engaged from start to finish, with each chapter unveiling new twists and turns in Emmeline's quest. Perry's vivid descriptions transport readers to the rugged landscapes of frontier America, immersing them in the sights, sounds, and emotions of Emmeline's journey. Overall, A Journey is a captivating tale of courage, perseverance, and the power of love and family. It's a must-read for fans of historical fiction, especially those who enjoy the works of Laurel Ingalls Wilder and Louisa May Alcott. With its heartfelt storytelling and memorable characters, this book is sure to leave a lasting impression on readers of all ages. And with the sequel, Finding Strength During the Panic of 1893, now available, readers can continue to follow Emmeline's adventures and discoveries.
Oh, wow. How beautiful is that?
I know, isn't it great?
Very, very special. And I agree with the part that it's not just for young adults. I think, you know, any reader who's interested in or anything based in that time period in America would be interested.
In that time period, yes. I was just one of the things I really did a lot of research, and I have in the back of the book things I, you know, learned about different areas.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I was shocked to hear was, did you know that we all didn't have toilets and indoor plumbing until 1960s?
No.
Everywhere in America.
Oh.
Yes, you had it in big cities, and you had it in small, you know, even kind of smaller towns. But the little towns, the little country towns, did not until the 60s.
Oh, my. I did not know that.
I mean, can you imagine having to go out to the outhouse? The privy, they called it.
Yes. Oh, my. Yeah, you know, when if you're fortunate enough to have had that commodity, you never thought that there were people who did not.
Yeah.
Especially,
well, the first time she experiences it is when she goes to Boston, because they had it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she's like, wow.
What is this?
So there's a lot of interesting facts and things like that incorporated into the story. You'll just feel like you're there, you know.
And that's what good, solid research can do for a book. And it's so fun to research. I'm sure. Do you find yourself going down different rabbit holes, though, as you're researching?
Oh, I know. You do, because you're going to write a sentence, and then you're like, well, did they use that word then even? You know, I mean, just words even.
Yes.
You know, you had to be careful of words. Another person that did a review for me said that she reminded them of Maddie from True Grit. Yeah, they said she was such a strong character that she reminded them of Maddie from True Grit. I thought that was good.
Very heartening for you to get reviews like that. It just spurs you on to keep writing. What about the cover, Kathy? How did that come about?
Well, I have a designer and also an illustrator. I did not paint this. I did paint the things in the first early reader chapter books. But the second series, I'm going to have her do them because she's so much better than me. But anyway, she did this horse in the front, the colored horse. But then my designer came up with the whole silhouette and all that. So I have a book designer. He's actually in London, and he did this and the next book,
And the next book. Wow.
And my illustrator lives in New Zealand. And so it's really fun to, what time zone are we in? New Zealand. I need to talk to her. It's like tomorrow there, you know?
Yes. Well, it's so good to find people who can work with you regardless of where they are and give you an outcome that is something that you would think of in your head, and then they're capable of putting it on paper.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So what's next? Are you working on anything right now?
I am. I'm working on Pip Opossum.
The little
early reader book. And Pip Opossum, it's a little longer than the first series. Not a lot, though. And Pip Opossum has 5 Joeys, 3 Jills, and 2 Jacks. They call them Jack and Jills.
Right.
Isn't that fun?
Yes.
And so the basis of the story is diligence, because I asked a homeschool mom, I said, what is the thing you worked on, we work on the most? And she said, diligence, every day, diligence.
Wow.
Just because, you know, kids get bored, they want to do something else, or they want to, you know, stick with it.
That's a good one. That's a good one, not just for children, but for everybody. Yeah. There's a lot of people that don't have diligence. It's hard to find and
so
maintain.
So I've got these kids are going to be learning. Well, she already has diligence, but she's trying to train her kids, mm-hmm. her Joeys, and her Joeys are, two of them are kind of rascallions. Yes, two of them are rascallions, but they will learn their lesson.
Oh, I love Pippo Possum. That's just fun to say.
I know. I love that name, Pip. And you should see, I should send you the picture of Pip, because I just got it back from Claudia, my illustrator. It's so good.
Oh, please do. Please. I'm going to walk around saying Pippo Possum. We have possums that show up all the time, so I'm going to probably name them all Pip.
I've named the Joeys, too. So we got Peggy, who else are we? Oh, I can't remember. No, Max and Millie, Peggy and Peony.
Ooh, Peony Opossum. That's a good one.
Peony Opossum.
That's so fun.
So, yeah. I'll send you that picture.
That's what you need for children's books. Just something that captures their ears, you know, something they could have fun with.
I have showed this picture to a little girl who was six, and I asked her what animal this was, and she said, it's a mouse.
Oh.
You know, they kind of do look like mice.
Yeah, they're kind of big mice, yeah.
They're bigger, very big. You know. That's what she thought it was. So some kids might think it's a mouse, but, you know.
Well, once they get into the book, they'll understand. It'll teach them about opossums as well.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it sounds like you're doing lots of good things here. So much value in what you're doing. Anything we missed that you wanted to highlight today?
Well, on the early reader books, I do want to mention that I have a discussion section in the back. Part of it is about the book, the story for, you know, just understanding the story. And then part of it is asking questions that relate to real life. And so I like that. And then there's a glossary as well.
Okay. Excellent.
I think that's the only thing we missed.
All righty, my friend. Well, if you would, then share contact information where folks can find you and get copies of your books.
Okay. My website is very easy. Actually, I have three different names, but I won't give you all of them. If you just use my name, Kathy with a K, K-A-T-H-Y, J, Perry, P as in Peter, E-R-R-Y.com. And the reason I keep the J is because even if I type that, Kathy J. Perry, they'll say, do you mean Katy Perry? All the time.
I found that on Amazon. I went to get your book several times, and I keep getting Katy Perry. I'm like, look, I didn't put Katy. I know how to spell Kathy. Please stop giving me Katy. So I added your middle initial J, and that solved the problem.
Yeah, so that's why it's there. So it's KathyJPerry.com, and I welcome anybody to follow me on my blog or any of the other social media that I have. I don't put too much on social media, though. Mostly I do my blog.
Then we will find you at KathyJPerry.com. The book we're talking about is A Journey. You can find her on Amazon, on her website, the Chickadee blog. Thank you so much for today, for sharing you and your books and that little bit of vignettes about the 1890s. Now you've intrigued me. I need to find out a little bit more. And that's what a good author should do. So thank you for today. Thanks for sharing you, and please come back.
I will, Pat. Thank you. I hope I can. Thank you, Pat.